Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to be here. Thank you for your welcome. Thank you for coming here. We trust God will speak to you and be blessed as we look at his word together. Passage today is Acts chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 8 down to the end of the chapter, 8 to 15. The heading I've put over the study today is this: Reality Ends Religion. Reality Ends Religion. We'll think about that in a little while. Let's just read the scriptures together. Verse 7, just for connection. The word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place, the temple, and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Amen. May God bless his word. I have four children. The youngest is 12. The oldest is 21. And when they were younger, I used to love watching them play with their toys. Or maybe role play. You know, they would pretend to be soldiers or teachers. Sometimes they even played church and one of them would preach. Sometimes they would dress up as superheroes and play with their friends, getting lost in some make-believe world. I can remember on occasions walking my youngest Samuel home from school, and he would run on ahead of me pretending to have sword fights and battles with monsters and villains in his own head. And you know, it's sad when the children grow up and they leave these childish things behind. But I'm also glad, because it would be quite embarrassing walking with my 21-year-old pretending he's having a fight with Darth Vader. But this is the natural pattern of life. We mature. We grow up. We progress. We leave childish things behind. We leave the toys behind. We leave the role play behind for reality. Children who once played and pretended to be doctors and nurses, some of them become real doctors and nurses. Children who pretended to be teachers, some of them become real teachers. Now, I never role played being an accountant. Who does? But I think back to my childhood, and I used to love playing with toy cars. But eventually I left the toy cars behind, and now I drive a real car with a real horn that I can give a good blast. Can you imagine if I continued just to play with my toy cars and never progressed to learn to drive a real car? I mean, how absurd would that be? What has this got to do with our passage, with Acts chapter 6? Well, here's the link. When it comes to God, and when it comes to faith, true faith in God, Many of us are prepared to settle for the little, small-scale model rather than the real thing. We're prepared to settle for the toy car rather than the real car. We're prepared to settle for the infantile rather than the grown-up reality. And ultimately, many of us are prepared to settle for empty religion and tradition rather than the reality of relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that last one again. Many of us are prepared to settle for empty religion and tradition rather than the reality of a living relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's exactly what the gospel offers you. A living relationship with God himself through faith in Jesus Christ. That's reality. That is the reality of the Christian faith. This is what Stephen preached in Acts chapter 6. And he faced devout Jews who were prepared to settle for an empty religion, who were prepared to settle for a dead temple rather than a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You see, even today, it is so easy to get caught up in empty religion that doesn't have Jesus at its heart. Stephen realized that Jesus was everything. Stephen understood the reality of Jesus Christ. He understood who Jesus is. He is God. He understood Jesus coming into the world, why he came, his death on the cross for our sins, his resurrection. Jesus ended empty religion. This is the reality that ends religion. And this is what Stephen preached. And this is what Stephen was prepared to die for. Now let's think about this passage. The Acts of the Apostles, this book, it's all about the birth, the growth of the church. From its beginnings in the city of Jerusalem to the spread of the gospel, the growth of the church throughout the world. The apostles are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in the city of Jerusalem. Let's pick out some verses earlier on in the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 2, verse 38. Peter is preaching and he says, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The name of Jesus Christ. Verse 41. We read, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." The city of Jerusalem is being transformed. You come over to chapter 4, verse 4, we read this, "Many of those who heard the word believed. The number of the men came to about 5,000. Down to verse 11 of chapter 4, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you." Verse 12, "There is no salvation, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And then over to chapter 5, verse 14, we read, "And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." The apostles were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were preaching in the temple. We read that they were filling Jerusalem with their teaching, and thousands of people were coming to faith in Jesus. And at the heart of this message that they preached was a relationship with Jesus Christ. God was moving. God was changing people's lives. The church was growing. And now we come to chapter 6 and we read these very important words in verse 7. "The word of God continued to increase. The number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And listen to this last bit. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. The priests. Jesus had changed everything. Reality was ending religion. Even many of the priests were putting their faith in Jesus Christ. Now just stop and think for a minute of what it would have meant for these men to leave the priesthood and to identify with Jesus Christ. They would have been ostracized from their communities, from their families. They would become hated, persecuted. They would have been seen as traitors, but they had come to see the reality of who Jesus Christ is, the Messiah, their Savior, God become man. Reality ends religion. So now we come to our passage. There are two players in our passage. Firstly, there is Stephen, verse 8. He is a man who is described, I think in verse 3 of chapter 6, a man who is full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Stephen. Then secondly, we have in verse 9, the devout Jews. They are the second group of protagonists. These are Jews who are now struggling to come to terms with the power of the gospel taking effect in the city of Jerusalem. They are struggling with the reality of who Jesus is. They are struggling with what this means for them. It means the end of their religion. And they are full of hatred towards Jesus Christ. They are full of hatred towards anyone who will identify with him. And they want to preserve their religion, to preserve their own position in society, and they will do so at any cost. Now just look at how Stephen is described in verse 8. Full of grace and power. Full of grace and power. You see, God is in Stephen. God is working through Stephen. That's what the gospel does. It changes people. Stephen has been born of the Spirit. You know, Christianity is not an intellectual thing. Merely an intellectual thing. It's not about simply understanding who Jesus is. When a person comes to faith in Jesus, they are brought into relationship with the living God. They are born of the Spirit. It's what Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. If you repent, believe in Jesus Christ, you will receive the Holy Spirit of God. He's a person. A divine person. And he will come and he will live within you. Your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's how it's described in Scripture. And the Holy Spirit changes people. He changes attitudes. He changes desires. He changes perspectives. He reveals the deep things of God to people. He reveals Jesus to people in a deeper and deeper way. He helps you to understand the Bible as you read it. He helps you to obey the Bible in your life. He helps you to pray. And he gives you power to live for God. And he deepens your relationship with God as you live. Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of grace and power. So here is Stephen. And he's publicly declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it is possible for men and women, for boys and girls, to have a direct relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And then again, Stephen in verse 9, here are these devout Jews in the city, and they rise up against Stephen. Those who belonged in verse 9 to the synagogue of the freedmen. Now the freedmen are thought to have been Jewish slaves who a number of years ago were captured, they were taken to Rome, they were put in prison in Rome, and then later on they were set free. freed men. And they came back to Jerusalem and they set up their own synagogue. Verse 9 also mentions the Cyrenians. These were Jews from North Africa, probably from Libya. The Alexandrians who came from Egypt, those from Cilicia, modern-day Turkey, and from Asia Minor. So you've got all these different foreign nationalities in the city of Jerusalem. And it may have been that they all met together in this one synagogue of the freedmen, or it may have been the case that they each had their own synagogue. We don't know for sure. But what we do know for certain is this, that for these Jews, and in particular these foreign Jews, Jerusalem, and in particular the temple at Jerusalem, was the center of their religious universe. And they were all united passionately in violent opposition against Stephen and against the message of Jesus Christ. Now, one important detail from verse 9. Mention is made in verse 9 of Jews from Cilicia. The capital city of Cilicia was Tarsus. This is the city where the Apostle Paul was from. Now, we know he was in Jerusalem at this time because he comes into the picture in chapter 7. Now, if Paul was in Jerusalem, this is the synagogue where he would have gone to. So, it is highly likely that Paul was among those who disputed with Stephen here in Acts chapter 6. So here is Stephen, he's front and center, he's facing the collective might and anger of this zealous Jewish community. We read that they rose up, they disputed with Stephen, no doubt Jesus was at the center of their debate. And we read this in verse 10, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen was speaking. Stephen was on God's side. Stephen was on the side of truth. And so now these Jews, not able to make any headway in the debate, in the argument, they now resort to deception. Look at verse 11. They secretly instigated men. That is, they hired informers to accuse Stephen of blasphemy. Verse 12, they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes. Verse 13, they set up false witnesses. Now, does this sound familiar? Does this not take you back to how the religious leaders of the day plotted against Jesus? Verse 12, they seized Stephen. They brought Stephen before the council, before the Sanhedrin, and now we discover that they levy two charges against Stephen. Two charges. Let's go back to verse 11. We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Two charges. Blasphemy against Moses, number one. Blasphemy against God, number two. Now go down to verse 13. This man, Stephen, he never ceases to speak words against this holy place, the temple, and the law. Blasphemy against Moses, that's the law. Blasphemy against God, that's the temple, this holy place. Go down again to verse 14. We have heard Stephen say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place, the temple, and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us. That's the law. So you see the two charges brought against Stephen? They are accusing Stephen of denigrating their temple, the holy place. Blasphemy against God. And secondly, they are accusing Stephen of denigrating their law. Blasphemy against Moses. This was the end of their religion. And they were right. Now let's just stop. Let's just think for a minute what the temple meant to these Jews. Verse 13, the temple is described as their holy place. This was the epicenter of their religion. The temple for them was the very dwelling place of God. If you wanted to meet God, you went to the temple. The temple was the place of worship. It was the centre of the whole sacrificial system and ceremony. It was the place where countless animals were sacrificed day after day for the sins of the people. And under this whole system of temple worship, people were kept at a distance from God. Access to God was limited. It was through the priest. And it was through the high priest. And even then, only once a year could the high priest go into the Holy of Holies and into the presence of God. But you know what? God was no longer in their temple. They had turned the temple into a business. Jesus described it as a den of thieves. And God had long departed from their temple. And the law. Again, they had buried God's law under a mountain of their own tradition and rules and regulation. And God's word was no longer visible. It had become their law, not God's law. And Jesus said that their traditions had placed burdens upon people that were hard to bear. Now this empty religion and all this tradition made Jesus angry. He visited the temple. And he said, "You have turned my father's house into a house of trade." Twice Jesus cleansed the temple when he was here. He overturned the tables of the money changers. He drove the sellers of animals out of the temple precincts. And some of Jesus' harshest words were reserved for the religious leaders. You read Matthew chapter 23. Jesus described them as serpents. He described them as vipers, blind guides, blind fools, he said to them. You're like whitewashed sepulchres. All beautiful and pristine on the outside, but inside, you're dead, full of dead men's bones. It's just a picture of religion. Empty, dead religion. Still with us today. And it was all about outward appearance rather than the inward reality. It's exactly what Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 3 verse 5. He talks about those who have the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Why was Jesus so angry? He was so angry because the religious leaders were deceiving the people. They were keeping the people from the truth. They were keeping the people from God. Jesus said, "You shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces." Keeping people in darkness. Keeping people from coming to God. Keeping people from the truth that they need a Savior and that Jesus Christ is the Savior. This is what Stephen preached. That relationship with God is not found in a place. It's not found in a creed. It's not found in works. You can't earn it. You can't be saved by keeping the law or by any effort of your own. Stephen preached that salvation is found in a person. It is through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the true temple of God. He is the real thing. We read in Revelation 21 verse 22, you know, looking to that future day, the new city of Jerusalem, and John says, "I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty, the Lamb of God, Jesus." And here's the point. If you want to meet God, you don't need to go to a place. You don't need to go to the temple. You come to Jesus Christ. He is God. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. You want to hear what God has to say? Listen to the words of Jesus. You want to have your sins forgiven once and for all? You don't need to visit a priest. You don't need to go to the temple and offer anything. Jesus Christ himself is the sacrifice. Hebrews 9 verse 26, he appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of himself. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The book of Hebrews tells us that all this sacrificial system, this whole system of temple worship, it could never save a person. Couldn't save anyone. Hebrews 10 verse 4 tells us it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. The law made nothing perfect. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 2 that it is only by faith in Jesus Christ. He says a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. For if righteousness were through the law, says Paul, if I could be made right before God through keeping the law or through my own effort or through any work of myself, then Paul says Christ died for no purpose. It wouldn't have been necessary for Jesus to go to the cross. And here were devout Jews who did not want to know the reality of trusting Jesus Christ. They wanted to settle for an empty and dead religion. And so many of us today are in exactly the same place. We're happy to settle for religion rather than the reality of relationship with God. I mentioned earlier in verse 9 that it is highly likely that among the Jews disputing with Stephen on this occasion was probably Saul of Tarsus. The Apostle Paul. He was a man steeped in religion. He was a man who was hostile to Jesus Christ. He was intent on wiping out the church of God. He put Christians in prison. We read in chapter 7 that he watched as Stephen was murdered. He was consenting. He was approving of Stephen's death. Yet one day, reality dawned on Paul. The reality of Jesus Christ dawned on his soul. And his life of empty religion came to an end. He came to know Jesus Christ. And this is the power of the gospel. That someone so opposed to the gospel like Paul could be brought into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote later in his life, and I just want to close by reading these verses to you. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul wrote this later in his life. Now remember, this is the same man that's probably disputing with Stephen, the same man that watched Stephen die, watched his murder. He writes this. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Here is a man, his whole life was bound up in the law. And now he writes, and he talks about the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Reality is in relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I would ask you today, as you sit in your seat, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Or are you settling for the empty things of life? May God bless us. Shall we pray? Father God, we just bow before you. We just want to praise you, worship you, that you are a great God. You are the true and living God. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for his sacrifice. Thank you that he has opened up the way into a living relationship with you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who reveals the Lord Jesus to us, who reveals the deep things of God to us. Thank you for your word today. Father, may your Holy Spirit help us to apply your word. May you speak to us through your word today. And may it be for your glory in our lives. We just give you thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen.